Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
I was in Sweden for a bit, and I had sex kind of near where the director Ingmar Bergman is buried.
Hey, welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. This is that podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay, queer, bi, whatever? It's me, your host, Eric Williams, and I'm so happy you're here. I hope you've been having a good week. I just witnessed my first fire in California. Fun! To be fair, though, it's not a natural fire. It was man-made, so maybe I can't actually clock it as my first. I also do have a crazy update for the first time in months about my pills. So why don't we get into a little me, myself, and SSRI.
Me, myself, and SSRI.
So just like my therapist in New York, my psychiatrist told me I had to get someone new in California. And so my new psychiatrist, we were talking about my anxiety pills, which I'm on Lexapro on 15 millis. And I was telling her, I was honest. I was like, I think it helps to a degree. I thought my anxiety would be a little better overall, just because I still sometimes get like crazy imposter syndrome or like deep thoughts, fears of failure that I was hoping would not be as persistent. And so she told me, she's like, okay, well, why don't we go up? So I was like, I'm along for the journey. She thinks that maybe my medication hasn't worked as well because she said, quote, I think it was, you're so fucking Jewish. I'm kidding. She just, I think that she said that maybe my metabolism goes through the medicine faster than some people. So I'm going to go up to 20 milligrams, which I'm on right now. And then she says I could go up to 30. Which she says normally the top is 20, but that's just like what the studies say. And so you can go higher. So like, I'll let you know if I'm tweaking the fuck out. I mean, I'm a little nervous that like, I won't be able to like have an ounce of blood go to my penis when I want it to. So stay fucking tuned. Speaking of sex, this week on the podcast, we have the Ashley Ray. And I say speaking of sex because not only is she so open about her polyamorous bisexual queendom life, but also I asked the first time ever on this podcast a new question that I think might be a mainstay. The question is, what is your OnlyFans niche? What would it be in your fantasy? And I want them to get specific, and Ashley delivers with her answer. She hosts a podcast called TV I Say. She has written for many big publications. She's a comedian, writer, actor. So funny, so knowledgeable about TV. If you're a TV person, this is your app. Do me a favor and throw us a 5-star review if you like it. We're on Instagram at gayasspodcast. And you know we're having a party over at Patreon. That's patreon.com/gayasspodcast. I love you so much. The Ashley Ray is on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. I've been a fan of yours for a long time.
Oh my gosh.
I really, like when you had the Twitter name of Kate Winslet's vape coach, I knew that was like my in. And then I've been along for the journey every step of the way. And I want to tell you how fucking excited I am that you are here. So thank you for coming.
I am so glad to be here. Like, please, you've had so many amazing people on the show. I was like, you want, oh, like, please, how do I get
are
this in my
Are you kidding? Like, you are amongst the greats of the guests on That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
That means so much to me because I just want to be a famous gay. Like,
well, if it matters from me, you are a famous gay. I mean, for the audience, let me just give you like these are the things that I love about the Ashley Ray. Like, not only Kate Winslet's vape coach was the handle on Twitter, not only a polyamorous bisexual icon, writer, comedian, actor, obsessed with weed, obsessed with sex. I mean, I was literally. God, I have been so excited to have you. So first of all, I want to ask, when you did the Kate Winslet's vape coach, what was it a random idea that came into your head and then people, because I believed it.
Yeah. Oh, so many people believed it. It was a totally random thing. I was watching Mayor of Easttown, obviously, as we all were. And just the way she inhabited that vape, it was like she made it its own character. I was like, someone had to help her with this. And she, I mean, come on, Miss Winslet, she is... She puts
Where's
the
nomination for the vape for the vape pen itself? Like, I feel like right? that character held so much weight on the show. And listen, I'm one of those people that unfortunately will start watching a show about 2 to 3 weeks too late.
Oh, yeah.
And then I heard all these things about Mare, heard about the accent, heard about the vape. And then I digested that show so quickly, but it didn't give me a stomach ache. It made me gaping for more.
Yeah.
Are they going to bring it back? It sounds like no.
It doesn't seem clear. I've heard like whisperings of a second season, but to me, the best part is that for me, when you think Kate Winslet, I always think like old timey stuff. I'm like mayor of Easttown. This is about some woman who has an orphanage and she like buys horses or something. And then to just, like, watch her sucking on that vape, it's amazing.
With, like, the most disgusting accent you've ever heard. Yeah. I mean, like, I say it as someone who has family in Pittsburgh, which I know is, like, adjacent to where Mayor lives. But, like, it's the most disgusting, like, I have cousins that would say when we were younger, all right, you guys, we'll see you for your bar mitzvah in October.
Oh, like, here's the thing. I love it. I love it. Like, I am into I'm very into all American accents. I love the Boston accent, a Southern accent. Like, give me mid-Atlantic. I love our little homegrown weirdo, like.
Okay, here's a question then. If you were, like, flirting with someone, what to you is a sexier accent? Let's say you're in a bar, there's a Southern person, there's a Pittsburgh, like, Pittsburgh, and then, so we have Pittsburgh, we have Boston, we have Southern, and then, just for fun, we will throw in, like, a Midwestern, like, banana.
Okay. As a Midwesterner, okay.
We're going to take out the Midwesterner first, is what it sounds like.
Oh, I would say Midwesterners, we don't really have an accent. That's why a lot of times news anchors come from the Midwest, because we have what's called just, like, the pure American, like, tilt. So, that's just what we tell ourselves, maybe.
Listen, and as a grown up in the Midwest, I tend to agree with you on that one. The only reason I threw in the bananas is because my fucking parents, like, were from Missouri, and they have, like, maybe it's just, like, a nasality that's just not Midwestern, it's just
that's real. It's like...
Okay.
It's the ope. It's like, oh, excuse me there. It's there, yeah. Yeah.
So who are you flirting with in the bar?
Okay, it's... I'm going to go Boston.
How toxic of you.
I know, right? I know. It's disgusting.
Is it because of your affiliation with, like, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon? Like, what about Boston is so hot?
Like, I lived there for a bit. Like, I went to school in Massachusetts. And there is just something so sexy about that disgusting accent. Like, and I mean, like, a real Boston. Like, I don't mean a Harvard boy. Yeah. I mean, like, nitty gritty. Like, I'm polyamorous. I dated an Irish Boston boy, an Italian Boston boy. Like, that range of just, God.
I haven't even seen these take people. Take me to the back already... bay.
You know, park your car. I'm not going to do the accent. I feel like it's appropriation if I do it.
There is a fine line between a passion for the accent and just fully appropriating the Boston. I think a Boston boy, especially like the Irish Catholic or the Italian Boston boy, will disrespect you in a way that feels good. They're not going to go. Like, they won't go too far, but they'll still be like, "What'd you call me?"
Yeah, it's like just enough that you're like, "Oh, I got to make Angry Daddy proud." It's like exactly. It's disgusting.
It hurts a tiny bit, but it hurts just enough.
Right, and you're like, "Oh God!" Like every guy from Boston, every like just wonderful stud. Doesn't matter. Queer people from across the spectrum, they have this attitude of just like, oh, you think it's such a big deal? Like, oh, and you're just like, no, I'm not. Wait. I'll prove it.
But then, Boston defies sexuality. Boston is an equal opportunity.
Mass
whatever
wholeness.
You are, they're gonna fuck. Yeah. I love that. I was reading online earlier today talking about second seasons. And just like that, apparently we are waiting on Michael Patrick King and SJP to like give it the green light, or like they will do it if there's a story.
Yeah.
What do we think?
I think there's definitely going to be a second season. It was a surprise hit. Like they showed everyone they could do it without Samantha, kind of. I don't think they pulled it off, but sure. You know, we have something without Samantha. And I went to a like talk with the costume designers, and they all seemed really excited to do a second season. So it's kind of like, why wouldn't they?
I agree. I think it is a good debate about, did they successfully not have Samantha in the show? I think, like, we are so beyond her agreeing to do a second season. I think, like, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment if we actually give any hope that she would come back.
Oh, gosh, no. Yeah.
On what planet would Kim Cattrall be like, you know what? After all the fans said that they wanted me and SGP, like...
Who goes backwards like that? It just doesn't make any sense. It's like, it doesn't make sense. It's just, I think she's off doing bigger, better things. You know, she is doing Queer as Folk, the reboot.
Right.
And so I think she's like, I'm doing gayer things, queerer things. I'm with the times. And they're outdated.
She's saying as long as she's eating, she's not going to go back. I think if she had not a single project to do, like, maybe she would go. But she knows her value. And I think Kim Cattrall is just teaching us, like, self-esteem and just, like, knowing your worth. Because, yeah, would she make a crazy amount of money? Yeah. And do I want her back on the show?
Of course.
100%.
Yeah.
But I think what people say that I agree with is that a lot of times you watched... And just like that, with a bit of a hateful mentality, but you are so loving just being surrounded by those women. They can say, they can do, they can be as horrible as Miranda was.
And you're still just like, I'm going to watch. And it's just, it's like a soup. It just envelops you. And you're like, there's one ingredient missing, and it's Samantha. And it's, you know.
But it's still, you know what? It's a soup that has carrots. It has a tomato base. It's got it got enough salt.
Yeah.
But you wish there was a meatball.
Yeah. You wish there was something just a little heartier in there to really, like, get this to be filling. And instead, they give you Che Diaz.
And that's, I mean, that's the name of a book that needs to be written. And then they give you
Che Diaz. And then they give you Che Diaz.
I think there's such controversy around Che and Sara Ramirez, because have you been seeing the things going around about their, like, amazing Broadway career?
I've been a fan of Sarah for so long. Like, Grey's Anatomy days, please.
Yes.
Obviously. Callie. Like, Reasons Why, I'm a Little Gay, Callie, obviously.
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm surprised I'm not a lesbian because of that character.
Yeah.
I was the type of gay theater kid that would listen to Spamalot cast recording.
Oh,
and
yes.
Sarah played, you know, Lady of the Lake. And what I remember reading that was so, like, revolutionary to me is that when Sarah did that show, they were so good that apparently Grey's Anatomy, was it, whoever it was at the network was like, you are so good. Tell us what you want to do. And then Sarah was like, I want, okay, give me this role in Grey's Anatomy. And then the career skyrocketed from there.
Yeah.
Like, if you are that much talent, like, there's not many people that, like, the industry just be like, screech to a halt.
And this was when Grey's Anatomy was at its top. Okay, not now, when anyone who's done, like, five seasons on Bold and Beautiful can get on Grey's. This was when it was, like, hard to get on Grey's.
Prime Real Estate on network.
This was, like, big deal.
Do you remember? It reminds me of, like, when ER was on. That was, like, must-see TV. My parents would watch ER like they were watching the Super Bowl every Thursday.
And it would just be like, okay, this is really intense. I guess this is what we do.
Yeah, and then Grey's, like, one of my best guy friends who happens to be straight, unfortunately, he will still watch Grey's.
Oh, I still watch Grey's.
Yeah, it's like, there's such a...
I'll never
so few shows.
Stop watching until they pull it from my eyeballs.
When do you think they're going to cancel the show? Are we going to be alive
okay,
for it?
I mean, it seems like, obviously, Ellen Pompeo does not want to do it much longer. Every interview she does, she's just like, I don't give a shit. They're like, what do you think inspires Meredith? And she's like, dumb shit. And they're just like, good answer. Like, she does not want to be there.
Yeah, I mean, she's probably at a point where she's, like, literally directing up. She's running the ship, and she's probably so desensitized to, like, walking into work every day. It goes to show you, no matter what your job is, it's still a job.
It's still
and
a
it
job.
Fucking suck.
And, like, it's at a point where there are other Greys. Like, we have other anatomies. We could go to one of her sisters. You know, we got a black sister. We got, all the sister plot lines are very complicated at this point. But there's a lot of sister options that they could go with. Even her daughter now at this point is old enough that, like, she could be going to medical school. So.
Well, there are so many spinoffs now of every show that I think it's kind of, I don't know, I don't really have an informed opinion yet because of, like, thinking about, there's such an attitude about why can't they make anything original anymore? But then some of the things that are spinoffs can be really good. But then some of it, like what Hilary Duff is now doing, How I Met Your Father. I have not, I will not and have not watched it. Unless...
I watched it. I started it. I don't give up on TV shows. I watched every episode of Two Broke Girls and I had to give up on How I Met Your Father. Like four episodes and I was like, Hulu, don't fucking show me this again.
What's so bad about it?
It's just not... I'm pretty sure they wrote it a while ago because I remember it getting the green light and I think COVID messed it up. And so the writing is very dated. Like, there's all this stuff that's, like, very Tinder circa, like, 2011, 12. Like, it's just... Some of the stuff you're like, oh, this would have been funny, like... 5-6 years ago, but what is this now? Like, who are these people?
That is so funny to me to picture all the references. Like, get out of here, I'm watching that 70s show. It's like, wait a minute, couldn't we have updated the references?
Yeah, it really is just like the lesbian character being like, Mariska Hargitay, oh my goodness. And it's like,
God, Mariska Hargitay.
And it's, you know.
Well, I hope Hillary is just, I hope she's happy is ultimately the whole,
you know, the thesis. Great cast. I will say 100% just the writing is bad.
Okay. We can be confident that the writing is garbage. What about, you had a really great tweet about the SNL host that you would like to have go on. And first of all, let me just say the list you had. You had Quinta Brunson, Anna Gasteyer, Nicole Byer, John Turturro, and Sydney Sweeney. I want to ask, how do you think Sydney Sweeney, which we all know is the gorgeous Euphoria...
White Lotus.
I mean, I actually watched White Lotus before I watched Euphoria, and I was like, who the hell? She can't be that old, and she's one of the best actors I've literally ever seen.
She's amazing in everything she does, and I think Euphoria, she gets to really showcase her talent, but it's not seen because the person who makes it is so obsessed with her boobs. So it's like... She'll be in something else and people are like, I had no idea she was this amazing. And then you watch Euphoria and you're like, it's there. But then you forgot because her boobs. And so I feel like I think she would be so good on SNL because she would totally be funny. She could show the range and she can't be like they can't, you know, make it too booby because it's network.
Right. I think also if SNL wants to bring in younger viewers, then that would be a very smart. I just looked it up. She's 24 years old. She has more talent and in like an areola of one of her breasts. Like she is so, because she can obviously land dramatic arcs and scenes. Amazing crier. She's also so funny and she can play like blonde, vapid, but also like deep feeling, intelligent. Like she has so many I envision for her an unbelievable career. I think that I'm 100% seeing her Oscar winning
it,
like beyond, I mean, it's, you know, this is really hard for me to say, but beyond Rachel McAdams, beyond,
absolutely. She just,
which is hard to say because I have a deep alliance.
That's something. I mean, and if you look at her personally, like she fixes cars and motorcycles. She's like a total, she's like, if you go look at her like TikTok and Instagrams, she's a total badass who's just like, oh yeah, my dad taught me how to fix cars. I speak three languages. And it's like, she's amazing and just so cool.
Is she a nepotism baby?
I don't think so, but I feel like I haven't looked into it because I don't want to know. I don't want to
look into it. Yeah, you know what? Sometimes let's collectively choose not to.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, you know what? I don't want that rug pulled from under me.
Yeah, the nepo stuff has been tough lately, but also like, I mean, I don't know. It's like, what are you going to tell these children of famous people to be talented?
Like, come on.
Although I do love Quinta is like talent. Not a nepotism baby. How long has Quinta been in making content? Like for years, building up this career?
Years. I mean, I interviewed her for The Cut. And so I got to like really talk to her about the timeline of her career. And it's like, she had always like loved comedy, but I think it was kind of like me and like most like black women our age, where you're like, that's like a white guy thing. Like we don't go to school for that. And like, you go to school for advertising or something else, but you always are like watching SNL and reading about comedy and you watch all the stand up. And then she dropped out in like early, like 2011, something like that. And she just like went to Chicago and started at the Second City. You know, she was like, oh, this is where all those like white guys went. I can go here. And a teacher there was like, you're hilarious, and like paid for her classes.
Oh my God.
And it's like that, you have to like have that spark and that drive and also that support. Like, who, you know, her parents didn't even know that she had like run away to Chicago.
What?
She was like staying with a boyfriend and like going back and forth. And they thought like, oh, are you still in school? And she was just like, for sure.
For absolutely, absolutely. I'm loving chemistry.
And so when she needed the money, she like couldn't ask them.
Oh my god.
This is all in the interview, so I'm not like, you know, sharing anything private. So
no, this is great. Yeah. I mean, she, because also like, I love that how the article is saying like she's making network TV cool again, and like, yeah, there is such an energy around her show that I feel like has been missing for so, because like a lot of shows, I feel like you only think about quote unquote cool or must-see TV as being on streaming,
yeah,
platforms. And then you don't think about what is it on
ABC?
ABC? Yeah. So it's like the fact that ABC is now going to have this, like has this must-see
show.
TV.
And yeah. And for me, as like, I've always loved network TV. Obviously I love television. I host my podcast TV, I say, writing about it, I've always watched network TV. I'm always the person every year who's like, this show on network TV is amazing. Like, you guys are missing out. So to me, it's like a finally, I'm like, okay, yes. Now, like, I'm like, it took someone so talented to get you all to recognize that there's funny stuff happening. Like, you know, yes. Happy Ending, Single Parents, there's been this slow buildup of all these shows that got us to this moment.
Wait. Happy Endings. Okay, Ashley, people need to listen to you more, because if we had, then Happy Endings would not have been canceled.
Yep.
And if we had, then there would be more things like that that are like getting the attention they deserve.
Yes.
And
you know, another one? Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Kristen Ritter.
So good. It was an out there comedy. It was darker than most network TV, and it just gets overlooked as something that really, Eric Andre was on it, and it pushed these boundaries, but people forget like how we got to this place where you could have a show as funny as Abbott Elementary, American Auto, Grand Crew. There's just like such a good crop of network TV.
I mean, I'm kind of outing myself as a part of the problem where I'm like, network sucks, but it's like literally we're just proving that it doesn't. But there's an opinion around the masses that it's like it can't be cool.
Yeah.
But clearly maybe it's because it's like it feels like it's the man and we're like,
I think the networks do suck, but it's that they just suck at promoting their shows properly. And like really adapting to streaming culture, because like most of their money still comes from advertising. So it doesn't like benefit them to like be like, let's get it on Hulu immediately. Even though like way more people would watch if they could watch it on Hulu right away. And instead you have to pay like $99 to be able to do that. Otherwise you have to like wait the next day or record it and all this stuff. And or you like, you know, or you log into your parents' cable thing. It's just always so complicated to get access to the shows. And that's why shows on like Comedy Central and TBS and all these like mid-range cable channels like get forgotten. Like Chad is so good. Miracle Workers and Search Party before it moved to HBO.
The other two moving?
The other two, yeah. So it's like, you know, they get kind of lost in the shuffle because those platforms really haven't figured out a good way to get their stuff onto streaming. I think it's working on better deals with Hulu and just being like, yeah, look, put it up immediately and just, you know, put ad in it right away, like whatever.
100%. I'm like having a flash of like the fact that they gave us such an incredible star. I mean, Casey Wilson is one of, when I saw the first episode of Happy Endings and her, and just all of her bits, because wasn't she like an SNL like one season?
She, as the term that I use is to Jenny Slate. to Jenny Slate it, as most to people, yes, Jenny Slate. She had done Marcella the Shell with shoes on. Mm-hmm. She was like a rising kind of star. Got on SNL her first season. She said the F word on live TV. She was not brought back. But then she like blew up. Like being on SNL turned out to be like not great for her career, and everyone loved her on like Parks and Recreation and all this other stuff. Yeah. And she didn't need it. It was just kind of this launching pad. And so I like to say it's the one season to Jenny Slate, as we saw with Casey Wilson. She did like one season, was really good, mm-hmm. but they had a hard time like fitting her into roles, I feel like.
Right.
It was always like, oh, you can be like the bigger, funny friend. And then Tim Robinson also, he was on SNL for one season then went on to greatness with I Think You Should Leave.
Well, I was just watching Casey Wilson on Watch What Happens Live, and just very, very great appearance. But are you a Bravo person?
Okay, look, I am really not. I just watched The Housewives for the first time, like, a few months ago, really. My friend started me with, like, Beverly Hills, I believe, and I saw some of Salt Lake City, I think.
I think you, first of all, I want to tell you that you need to be kinder to yourself and not feel bad about not watching a lot of Bravo, because you watch so much TV. True. And I was literally like writing a note earlier, just like, I feel so overwhelmed with watching things. Like I've been posting about
spreadsheets. It's really embarrassing.
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, I've been watching Love is Blind, but I have so many other things to watch and to do. And like a podcast takes 43 hours a day, and all the writing things. It's like all these things take so much time. I'm like not finished with Love is Blind yet, and by the time this episode comes out, I'm definitely gonna be like watch a.
But you're lucky because then the reunion episode comes out tomorrow, so you're just gonna have the whole thing. Whereas like I had to wait every week, and it's been so painful.
Oh my God, the anticipation is sure worth it, because I'm so deeply ingrained. Yeah. But to this point of just like there's so many things to watch, it's nearly impossible.
And I'm like, I'm a real, you know, people know I'm a TLC baby. I'm a TLC head. I do 90 Day Fiancé Universe. Yes. That's my area of expertise.
See, and that alone is quite a lot to intake.
When I was covering it for Vulture, it was ridiculous how I would legitimately spend about 6 hours of my day just on 90 Day Fiancé content to keep up with everything, because there are so many shows.
Listen, we are the true soldiers.
Exactly.
Which is tough to say what's happening globally.
Yeah, no, never, but I'm not, no. No.
Wait, let's get canceled to get some press. Okay, so I want to say that this podcast famously asks guests, our queer guests, a very important question. And I want to ask you this very important question, the Ashley Ray. Whose fault is it that you're queer, that you're bi, that you're poly? Who do we blame?
I think we have to blame Elaine Chaikin, the creator of the L word.
Oh my God, yeah. Ashley! No, what a gorgeous layered response.
I have to point the finger there.
Ashley, I knew you would deliver, and you fully Amazoned that answer.
Yeah. And I just want to say she just got fired from like whatever Law and Order she was directing.
What?
She was doing, it was like the one with Elliot Stabler, like the criminal, and she got fired. They brought in someone else. I don't know, because she's Elaine Chaikin and she like wrote the L word and like think of the crime series, like stuff she wrote. Like literally she was just like, how about Jenny fell off a balcony? Like, come on.
Whoa. So, I mean, like so much TV goss. So do you, when you were watching The L Word, does it take you back to like an age that you were at?
Oh yeah. I was 12 when it came out. Mm. And I remember when they were like doing the press to lead up to it, Jennifer Bett.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Flashdance. She was like on The Daily Show. And I also had a huge crush on Jon Stewart as a kid. It was weird. In sixth grade, I was just super into him. And like Bette and Jon Stewart on the screen together made me feel some kind of way. I was like, these two people. And then they showed like a sexy clip from The L Word and Jon was talking about it. And I was like, I'm going to watch every moment of this show that I can. And
I need to tell you, like, in an honest take, I have only heard so many great things about The L Word and I never really watched it. And is it
Oh my God.
Internalized lesphobia is it? Because I love lesbians. I love queer women. I love
Here's
them.
Here's the thing. The L word is not for people who like love lesbians. I think it's for like queer women who love women who want to like watch something that's like our Sex in the City, like women you hate. And you're like, why are they making the worst choices? And you're so frustrated and you're like, nothing makes sense. And then it's like for people who want to see like, you know, lesbian sex. And it's good drama. It is. But it is not something I like. For me, I rewatch it because it's like Sex in the City where it's like so comforting. Mm-hmm. But it's that messy soup. It's just like I sometimes like you go between hate watching it and then being like, I love Shane so much. I would fight anyone who said anything bad about the character Shane.
Oh, yeah.
And then.
But I think this pitch is really selling me because I think I was being too precious. I was like, well, what if I what is the L word? What if I don't like. Look, is it a different word than I think it is?
Well, that is part of the bit. So it's horribly written. And what you need to know is every episode starts with a different L. And Elena Chaikin could kind of never decide how she wanted to work that bit into the show. So, like, the first season, it's, like, every episode there's, like, some big L word that centers everything. And a character at one point will be like, I guess that's just what it is. Loss. And you're like, oh. But then in the second season, I guess they were like, oh, that's a little too heavy-handed. So it starts with these, like, queer gay moments in history. And it, like, flashes back to, like, two gay cowboys in the 60s being like, I don't know, we just gotta do what we do. And then it'll, like, somehow connect to a modern character. And it just was so messy and confusing. It is just...
This poor writer's room where they were just pulling their hair out trying to figure out how to make... They're like, how do we fit lethargy in here? It's like, okay, well...
There is a lethargy.
No, that was a joke.
Also, it has the worst theme song in the world. And there is a reboot. So, like, you know, if the reboot is, like...
Right.
The reboot actually is better than the original, but that's, like, to its detriment because it's just not even entertaining. It's just, like, this is a fine show. And the original was, like, entertaining because it was bad and fine. And...
Right, which I kind of is full circle with in Just Like That because it's bad and and it's bad and good.
Yeah.
It's like...
You're like, the quality's there... But like,
right, like it's $100 billion budget, and yet Miranda is like pulling a clown mask wearing person. Like it's what are we doing?
It's
you know what we didn't. I didn't talk. There's just some of the problematic choices that and Just Like That made. Like just a quick comment on the Jewish joke that they ended up releasing the episode on Holocaust Remembrance
Day.
Yes, I
remember that. Which like, I was like, you know when your episodes are coming out. Like,
yeah, like this wasn't a surprise to you. Like, you saw the calendar,
you,
babe.
Did you want that?
And I'm not saying Holocaust Remembrance Day is like the headline news on February 3rd, but like, maybe we should have done... some cross-referencing. And I feel bad for the actor that had to say it, too, because, like, if I was offered... that's a tough question.
Yeah.
If I was offered the role to make a Jew joke on and Just Like That season 2, what would the Jew joke be? Only I can say it as a Jew. I guess the Jew joke... What if the Jew joke was, like, maybe something to do with, like, a rhinoplasty thing? And as a big-nosed man, I'm also allowing myself to say this. If I had to say a big-nosed joke as a Jew on and Just Like That season 2 and I was getting paid...
Yeah.
$20,000 for one day of work.
Okay.
Do I say yes?
Do you?
Do I say no? Why? I'm giving myself the most impossible question. God, I think I don't have scruples. I'm saying yes. Are you kidding me?
I would say yes in your position.
Yeah, like what am I going to do? Like not film with SJP at a Shabbat dinner at Charlotte's house?
Yeah, like, it would be amazing.
Yeah, and then like and then whatever press comes from it,
you'd definitely
I can
be
say,
in a scene with Harry too, and that's like worth it.
Harry Greenblatt, I would love to do that. You know what? Yeah, I don't know why. There's just such a fear of like of what of saying the wrong thing. And I think that I sometimes you just gotta really honor what you want deep down, which is to like be on an HBO show.
Yeah. And it's like, these are the shows we love. We know they're problematic. Like, yes, the L word made me gay, but you know, that was gonna happen anyway. So like, let's just enjoy this like weird problematic TV show with silly like white ladies making bad decisions.
Amen to that. Let's drink to that. I mean, I am curious though, when you you know, were watching this, you're 12 years old, which is such a pivotal age.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you, what was the first, what, if you're okay answering, like your first experience where you were physical with a woman that was like confirmation, or did you not need that? Just like I did not need to know I was attracted to a man. Like what was the full-fledged feeling?
I mean, like the first time, it was definitely watching the L word, and it was a sex scene with Alice, and I was like, something's happening. I was like, they talking, I had a Nokia phone and I like turned it into a vibrator and was like, let's figure this out. And I just remember like watching the L word on my little tiny Toshiba laptop, because I went to a really weird school where sixth graders got laptops. So I had a laptop at like 12 when I was 12. So like I would watch the L word that I downloaded from LimeWire Kazaa. If it wasn't porn and it was an actual episode, and I could watch it on this little laptop, and I was just like, this is something to me. But
what a gorgeous look into the past with Nokia vibrating in your crotch, and then your school mandated chunky laptop.
Chunky laptop.
I mean, LimeWire, I think, really is a queer ally.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was the other one? LimeWire.
Kazaa. Yeah. Kazaa.
I remember, I think, I find that to be really relatable. I just had an instant flashback to me downloading videos on LimeWire of guys that were masturbating, because in my mind, I was just learning how to do it. I was like, this is a tutorial and it's purely educational.
I kind of would do that. I remember, like, I would do that by going into, like, AIM chat rooms. I was really into that. I would, like, go into the AIM chat rooms, like... that was my like technical first experience with a woman. Like, I was in lesbian chat rooms, and like there was this girl like Sue or something who was probably like a 15-year-old boy in another city, and we were like talking, and it was just very like, yeah, I'm a girl and me too, like I like girls, boobs. And I remember that night, like in my, I had one of those like diaries that like locked with the sound of your voice.
Of course.
And that night I wrote in it, I was like, I think I'm gay. Because I was like, this girl on AIM is like my girlfriend now.
This girl Sue that lives in Oregon.
And I had like her name and stuff on an index card with like her AIM handle. And yeah.
I just got chills because that's so sweet and also devastating. I mean, it's like the secrets we kept in a voice activated.
Yeah. If you're out there and you ever chatted with a doodle day on AIM, that was me. Hit me up.
And let's have a doodle day ourselves.
Yeah, now. unless you were a 15-year-old boy, then don't talk to me.
I think journals are quite beautiful and just
them.
The worst idea in the world, because there's just so many good things that come from putting your thoughts down, and then so many risks that you have with putting your thoughts down.
Yeah.
I just heard a story that I can tell because it's friend of friend of friend of friend, and basically I found like an 8-year relationship ended because a person had written something in their diary about cheating on their partner, and then it wasn't just like they found the journal. That person who did the cheating ripped out the pages, crumpled them up, and put them into a trash can. And then while the partner who was cheated on was taking the trash out, somehow saw these papers crumpled up, opened them, and then read the entries, and then said, "Girlie, can we have a talk?"
First of all, she wanted to get caught. This person wanted to get caught. They wanted to get caught. They wanted to get caught. Like, you burn it, you shred it, you rip it apart. You know how to get trash into trash without people reading it. Like,
yeah,
you
like
know.
How is it placed in a way that the person just happened to find them and unfurl?
Like, yeah, like
that,
perfectly
that does get planted.
Folded. Like, you know, no. You wrap it in a pad, put a rabbit in toilet paper, whatever you gotta do. There's a million ways to not get caught in that situation. Which, assuming you're ripping it out because you don't want it to be caught. Because, and this sounds like something where you can trust your partner to not read your diary, so, like, why take it out?
Right. So, I don't know, though. Do you still keep a diary today?
I do, which is because a lot of times people follow me on Twitter and they'll be like, why don't you get a diary? Not everything in your head has to come out. And I'm like, I do have one. I'm like, this is not even everything in my head. And I know it's so much.
You but... are such a good tweeter. I just, the fearless abandon. It's really.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I got into it late. I think that is the key. Like, I didn't really start using Twitter until it was like 2017. And I know people who are like, I've used it since high school. And I'm like, I think I'd be a different person if I had that kind of relationship.
Oh, yeah, I think you would. And I'm grateful that you didn't start until after you were a literal teenager. I want to ask, because we've talked a bit about you being this poly icon, we and both of us in this room love marijuana, huge fan
love
of
it.
Human sexuality. I have a new question that, as this podcast, you know, perseveres, you're going to be the first person I ask this new podcast question.
Ew.
The question is, if you were on OnlyFans, what would your niche be? To give you an example, mine would be constantly asking for validation. I would have one subscriber. It would be my mom. And it would just be me saying, do you think I'm funny? What is your sexual niche on OnlyFans?
Ooh. That is really hard. I don't know. I just feel like my regular thing is so out there and for everyone that people would be like into. I do think it would be like a lot of like what people would want for me is like weed tips during sex, like how to roll a blunt while like getting your pussy eaten.
And then you nailed it. See, you needed 2 seconds to say that was a hard question.
You know what? Actually, I had a job when I had this very like office like advertising job. We took these clients out. And it was Portland, so weed was legal, and they were like, let's get the like clients joints and weed. And we did, but then because these were corporate people, they didn't know to like get papers and the things you actually need to roll joints. And they obviously were like, Ashley, please help us, because I've always been a stoner like this. And so I'm like in the parking lot, like, yeah, I got you guys, like going in my bag, pulling out papers and everything I got. I'm like in a parking lot, like with my foot up on a bus, like rolling a joint. And, like, as I'm doing that, like, one of the managers on one of the teams is like, I have a feeling Ashley's done that while getting her pussy eaten before. And I just was like, this is okay. I was like,
oh my God.
I was like, you're not wrong. I am so glad that my energy radiates that. Don't know that I needed it brought up now.
From you.
But. Yeah, when you're right, you're right.
I like the idea of, like, that's your archetype. You know, she's the type of person that would roll a blunt while getting her pussy eaten.
She's the type of girl. I love that.
I wish someone said that about me.
He's the type of guy that would snort a line while sitting on a... I mean,
it's
not me.
Could
that's
be
not
fun.
Me,
but, like, wow. I think I would certainly pay... to see that being done and to learn how to roll. I mean, first of all, I can't roll a blunt probably just while not getting my pussy eaten. So
yeah,
I'm such a fan of weed.
Can you roll joints? Like,
no, I just like, I moved to California a few months ago. I was always enjoying weed from other people. And I'm now just like embarking on the actual building of the pyramid myself.
And it's like you can start with pre-rolls and stuff. I only learned to roll joints because I lived in Germany in college. I studied abroad, and over there they don't use bowls. They all like roll, you know, spliffs. They do tobacco and weed, and they hand roll their own cigarettes, so they're all just rolling joints. And when I got there, I lived on this floor with a bunch of like frat German guys who smoked pot and loved like Family Guy. And I would just constantly be asking them, like, do any of you have a pipe? And they thought like for meth or crack. They were like, what are you talking about? They tried to give me this like metal pipe. I was like, this is not going to work. And finally, they just like invited me into their room one day, and they were like, look, you're going to roll cigarettes until you get it right. And when you get it right, we'll give you weed and you can roll joints.
Oh my
tobacco
God.
Is harder to roll than weed.
That needs to be made into a film, and then that will win the Academy Award.
Honestly,
I also
want
to bring up the fact that you seem to find the demographic of Boston, no matter what country you're in.
Oh my God. You're right.
They're like, they all watch Family Guy.
They all watch Family Guy, and they all had, like, if you, like, Hamburgian, Boston-ish German accents.
There you go. Hamburg is the Boston of
Germany.
Is the
Boston of... Oh my God. No, Hamburg's the Chicago of Germany. But I'm sorry. I have to sit corrected because I'm a nerd.
Please. Please, correct. I do want to ask you, as we progress... another very famous podcast question, which is the Ashley Ray. If the world was ending and you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
I had to think a bit about this. And I think who I would go with is Wendy McClendon.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Very good answer. I am constantly impressed and surprised by guests who can come on here and just really give a nod to the people that deserve it. And yes. Wendy, you
anytime
know...
Anytime Wendy pops up, you're like, I'm going to laugh. Like, it's...
And I know she has done so much, but I think that I'm so grateful that she was immortalized in Bridesmaids, because the quotes that she gave us, the performance, it's like that... perfectly captured her magic. I mean, I literally referenced breaking a towel in half yesterday. I broke a towel in half. I mean, that movie came out like how many years ago?
Yeah, and it's like iconic.
I just want to watch The Daily Show without my husband entering me. It's like she is so
just good. And it's like since Reno 911, like
yes.
She's been holding it down on the Goldbergs for years now, and people, like, I don't think give that credit a lot of performance, because she really, truly is the whole reason the show is still funny.
Yes, and I also was listening to her on a podcast with Michelle Collins, I think, where she's just, like, also just as a person, seems to be so kooky and cool and normal, and that, to me, is, like, the quintessential... actor that you are in love with. They are so funny on screen, they're so talented, but they're also just like you.
Yeah, like I imagine she's most like her character in Barb and Star Go to Vista Del Mar.
Yes,
I think that's like I just feel like we'd have a good time.
Yeah,
like it's the end of the world and we would be like, hey, me and
that
you.
Is it, you would have a good time.
I bet she's like one of those people who's like, I have an amazing margarita recipe, I'm loving
it. And then they knock you flat on your ass. They're very sweet, and you're fucking tanked after like the giant glass that she gives you.
You're just like, Wendy, what is in these?
What the fuck did you put in this crack? Wendy. And she's like, no, it's just Costco tequila. And you're like, fuck.
Girl, yes.
Another actor that I think is a good time, very talented, especially with all the roles she's done, that she's the range. Sarah Paulson, I think that she is a good time hang. I think she takes herself a little more seriously than Wendy, but she still can be a silly girly.
Yeah. You know, I went to a panel on impeachment, American Crime Story, when they did that. And she did a panel with like Beanie, Monica Lewinsky. And she was surprisingly really goofy. Like she was so down to kind of just like make jokes and like, make fun of the show kind of and stuff, and I was like, okay, yeah, I think she'd be fun to hang out with.
Yeah, every time I see her there's things like that, because like I think the whole idea of the Ryan Murphy shows that like, and she's constantly being used, you would maybe think would breed a person that's like the eighth grade theater girl that like got to get a few more extra lines than everyone else, and then she thinks she's famous, and it's like, well, girl, you're still doing a play about a spider in a black box.
Yeah, like don't get too big.
Right, but like Sarah Paul, because like, okay, Sarah, you've done 15,000 Ryan Murphy shows that have varying levels of success. Like, do you think you're too good? And then you see her interviews, like, oh no, she's just like happy to be working. The girl
she's
is
literally
just like,
she's like, throw a fat suit on me, whatever you want to do.
Exactly. I was just going to say that. She's like, throw the latex, whatever you need. I will sit in my makeup chair, cash. Also, the fact that she's dating, oh my God, the beautiful older woman that is. Holland Taylor.
Yes, Holland Taylor.
Like, there's something so sexy
about
that.
That's just hot. It's so hot. I love every bit about it. Like, it's just... She's great. If
she
I want,
is so good.
I think, like, the L Word reboot is really boring. I think they should have, like, redone it, like, based on, like, Sarah Paulson's actual gay life. And that I would watch.
Wait, let's get that. Yeah. Sarah Paulson's like, because listen, can you imagine being in the room when Sarah Paulson and Holland Taylor first met and had like gorgeous sexual tension?
All that chemistry in that, please.
Please and thank you.
I bet they just like devoured each other.
And you know what? We're writing the new L word right now. The third L word.
This sounds a lot like the scene with Jenny and Marina. You don't know what that means, but the people will know what kind of tension I'm referring to.
Shout out to Jenny and Marina.
To Jenny and Marina in that bathroom scene.
I mean, I'm already turned on by that.
Yeah.
As a sexual being, do you have any... Where's the craziest place you fucked up?
Oh my gosh.
Or do you not, or do you like to just do the crazy, do you just like to express yourself in a bedroom?
No, I'm one of those people who's kind of like, I'm a Sagittarius. I'm very like into trying new things, exploring. Like if we're into each other and down, we're down. And I have been lucky to have like partners that I have been with for a while and who were like, we trust each other. Let's get like weird. So, okay, like, I mean, I've had sex in churches, I've had sex in, when I was in Sweden for a bit, and I had sex kind of near where the director Ingmar Bergman is buried. not on, because that would be wrong, and I wouldn't ever.
You were in close proximity to the grave.
But...
of Ingmar Bergman.
Enough to see it.
Never have I ever heard a gayer sentence being said. I don't care who you slept with there. That is... You know, I was in Sweden. But isn't there something so true about crossing international borders and getting so horny?
Yeah.
Like, what is it about it? Like, first of all, even if you're in a hotel in Schenectady, you're still horny because you're in a hotel.
Yeah, you're in a hotel. It's horny and it's hot. Like,
but then when you're in Europe, it's like, oh my God. Yeah. I mean.
And it was like, we fucked in the woods in Sweden. Like, I fucked in the woods a lot of places, I guess. Bar bathrooms. That. I lived in Chicago for 7 years, and there was a time you couldn't point to a bar bathroom I hadn't had sex in Logan Square.
Do you prefer, is it the stall itself? Is it an individual person, or have you been like a multiple person?
I have made both work. I prefer a one-person bathroom, you know, like we're now in this area where like every bathroom's gender by it, like, you know, for everyone. They'll just have like three private bathrooms instead of like stalls. And that works out great. It works out great for people who want to have sex. Works out great for cokeheads. It's a win-win for everybody in the club.
It's making everyone happy. I'm actually realizing, I was about to say, I don't think I really hooked up in a bathroom, but I just realized when I was in college, I was, kind of prudy. I just come out, like, right before I moved, went to college in New York, and I... had my first boyfriend, and he wanted, while we were at my college, he wanted to hook up in the bathroom, and I like could barely get into it because I was like so I will say it was like a big multiple stalled bathroom.
That adds tension.
I think for my first go, I was, you know, ripping the band-aid off a little too quickly.
My first bathroom sex was at Midway Airport in Chicago.
Airports are horny too.
Airports super horny, and it was like I was going away to college and like leaving my boyfriend behind, and it was very like, oh my God, when will I see you again? And then I was like, well, there's a family bathroom over there, and then we fucked in it.
And then minutes after you left, a one-year-old's ass was wiped on the very counter.
Hey, we used the sink.
Yeah, how is dare that, you imagine using the baby worse. Changing table?
Not like, you know what? It was fine.
Yeah, we wiped it down.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is so... There needs to be a whole series done on like the horniest places to hook up and why airports, hotels. And like, listen, I'm not saying airports are like, you know, the cleanest, most romantic. No. But there's something about like being in transit. There's something about being surrounded by so many people. Also with like gay men, there's such a thing about the tapping at the stall, like the cruising. And do you remember there was like a series of like famous politicians that were like constantly being caught?
This was always happening. Yeah, it would always just be like, hey, and they'd be like, no, I was just tapping a song out. And it was like, no.
sing that song, doo-da,
yeah, just
doo-da.
Doing my business and tapping away. And it would be like, no, bro, you were literally like in Morse code being like, give me a blowjob for $50. Like,
oh, if only I knew Morse code. Well, listen, before we wrap this episode up, I want to ask a final question that I haven't prepped you on, and it's just to gauge where we're at emotionally, physically, politically, etc. Ashley Wright, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
Ooh. Oh, wow. The best Whoopi Goldberg film. You know, honestly, I am going with The Color Purple.
Oh, thank you. Very good. You know, there's oftentimes the conversation goes between Color Purple and Sister Act 2.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that really, I think, cemented Whoopi as like a icon level.
Yeah, icon, legend. It was just like, I'm Whoopi and I can do it all. Don't put me in comedy. This is, you know, and I think as like a Black comedic performer, I'm always loving when like we show people like, oh, you know, we can do drama, like when Monique had her moment. It's like,
yes,
yeah, like,
there's so much range that I want people to constantly be reminded about, because as much as we love Whoopi on The View, I really want her to make a return to showing that gorgeous ability on screen. I really hope she does that.
Yeah, I think that would be great. I'd love to see her in more acting roles again. And just, you know, she had like a thing where she was doing a bunch of TV comedies for a bit. Like she'd do like a, you know, a pop in on 30 Rock. But, you know, get back to it, Whoopi.
From our mouths to Whoopi's ears. Yeah. Ashley Wright, I want to thank you for coming on this podcast. You are so fun to talk to. And I want everyone, if they're not already following you, to please follow. Ashley, can you tell us where to follow you?
Yeah, on Twitter at TheAshleyRay, two E's in the, or Instagram at TheAshleyRay. Or you can head to my website for my show dates, my podcast, TV I Say, at www.TheAshleyRay.com.
Oh, gorgeous. Thank you so much, Ashley. And I definitely will be seeing you soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yay.
This was so fun.
Friend of the Pod Productions.
Life is a workout. And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.